We're going to be studying in Romans again today, so let us turn in our Bibles to Romans 14. We have just a very short time now until we'll be out of Romans. I think most of you realize that the last chapter of Romans doesn't really belong with Romans. You know that? And so people have studied the Word of God. We don't go into that 16th chapter, so we have after this today, the 14th, we'll have one more chapter in Romans. You can read the other part yours, you know, anytime you want to, but it doesn't really go with this book, okay? Whoever compounded the book of the Bible just kind of made a mistake on adding something that wasn't there, okay? And its truth. So Romans 14, this is a chapter that is a very good chapter. Let's start with verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, maybe you haven't experienced this, but I have. When I was a child, we had a problem in the meeting, and there was a woman that stood up right through the service and contradicted what my father was preaching, just spoke out loud from the audience. And so you can understand that if you read this verse and you think of Apostle Paul trying to teach the Word of God, trying to bring the truth out, and for there to be many doubtful disputations, decisions. It means, the word means decisions of doubt. So, thank God we don't have that. Thank you, Lord, that there isn't anyone that's going to stand up and contradict what we have read from the Word of God. But that happened when I was a child. I was about 6, and I knew that that was not the right thing for people to be doing in church, but that's how sometimes it happens when somebody is unhappy and they don't like to hear what the pastor says. So thank God that you listen. So in verse 2, he says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Yes, so that happens too. Now, the word herbs, you know, I tell you all the time these things because I like to study words. And in the original, which this would have been Greek that it was written in, the word herbs here means vegetables. Vegetables, that's what it means in the out of the language. And so he says that this chapter we're going to be talking about is going to be a lot about people that don't know how to eat. They've got all these rules, you know. In those days, the people that were Jewish had to follow certain rules all the time, that they could eat certain things, they couldn't eat other things, they couldn't drink some things. You know, they just had all of these rules. So when Paul is talking and teaching in his day and time, he's talking a lot to Jews. And, you know, God, Jesus is a Jew, born that way. And we do love the Jews. I hope every one of us love the Jewish people. I pray for them right now. They're in terrible condition, and we really need prayer for them. Not very many of them really believe in God. And I've told you this before. I read an article that said that there are hundreds of Jews that don't believe in God. They were in other nations at different times, and then they were rescued and brought into Israel. But they haven't really come to serve the Lord. So one believes that he may eat all things like a Jewish person. He could not abide by the rules of the Jewish religion. Another who is weak eateth herbs or vegetables. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Now, this is an amazing thing. Can you imagine if part of us were Jewish and we would eat certain things, the other ones of us may be Jewish, but we'd eat anything. And so there's always been a fuss that way among the Jews. But Apostle Paul just says, no, he says, let him that eateth not despise him that eateth not. See, let us have a right attitude toward other people. Now, you might think this is a weird kind of a chapter in a way, talking about food. But you see, in Paul's day, he was a Jew, and he became a converted Christian. and he was yielding to God. He was a great man. He wrote most of the New Testament, and yet he would meet up with these people that were also Jewish, and they had all these ideas and all these rules and everything to do. So that's why he's talking to them here. He says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Can you imagine that? If you were a group of Jewish people and someone would come in and eat something that was wrong and everybody else would pounce on them and start talking about them, that's what the Jews often would do. They had a lot of hypocrisy in them, and they would do things that were really not good, and give people no chance to a people to change. So it's recorded in Leviticus what God allowed to the Jewish nation. And you can read that if you want to look in chapter 11, verses 1 through 23. And it says there that they were to eat only of animals that chewed the cud. They couldn't eat other things very much at all. And, you know, it was very limited. They had to eat just what God had said in the Old Testament. And even in Paul's day, though it's New Testament time, Jesus has come and died and all this. And yet here are these people that just have a great time with how to eat because they're Jewish. You can read more of that if you want to, Leviticus 11, 1 through 23, but don't do it now, okay? Because we're going on now. Okay, and notice it says, let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. What I want to really stress right here is we are not the judge. I don't care, you know, we're not Jewish. I don't think there's anybody here that's Jewish. But if someone here ate a certain way, we shouldn't be the one to judge them. That's not our duty. That's not our place. In fact, Jesus said, judge not one another. Don't judge one another. That's a wrong thing. And when we have that kind of attitude, I know that we don't here. So I'm very thankful. But I have, as a child and growing up, I have seen groups of people who were very judgmental. And so if you didn't believe like them, or you did something that was contrary of what they believed, they would be judgmental of you, think that you weren't spiritual. So this is one thing that God does not want us to do. He wants us to receive one another, as he says, for God hath received him. So in verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now this verse really applies about everything, because all of us have people that we've had in our lives before that were kind of hard to live with. And so it causes us to just feel like judging them all the time. You know, remembering their faults and thinking about their faults all the time. But the Lord plainly says here, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he has to stand or fall. Every one of us stands before the Lord God. And it isn't my place to judge you, and it's not your place to judge me, thank God. And so that's why the scripture is talking. So verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. And we see that in life. There are people that will have their religion. They do not do one single bit of work on the Sabbath day. And they can either be celebrating on Saturday or on Sunday. Some of them do the same thing on Sunday. They don't do anything. They don't prepare food. They don't cook. They don't clean the house. They don't go anywhere. They just are there. And he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So our place is with God, not for somebody else to criticize what we do or don't do, you see? And so we all should show divine love toward one another, that we love the other person so much that we won't go around criticizing them or saying something. And thank God we don't have that here. I'm very thankful of that. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, and another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that's what we all need to do. Just let the Lord deal with us and teach us what he wants from us. It doesn't have to be what everybody in our whole nation has to believe. We can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and mainly the Word of God, because it teaches us what to do. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So as you notice there, there's a phrase that's very, very repeated. He giveth God thanks. He giveth God thanks. Regardless of what his food was or whatever, he's still going to give God thanks. And I think that's very, very wonderful. All of my life, that's what we've done. Even I pray over my food all the time. I'm by myself, but I pray over my food. I praise the Lord for what he has provided for me. And I think that that is very important for all of us. Just take a moment. If we have children, we're teaching them to really show their love for the Lord. And pray over that food before your children. And pray. If your children don't want to pray, pray for them. Take time to pray for Jesus. I'm thankful that I was raised to always praise the Lord, pray to the Lord every single night. My mother would read us Bible stories and read us directly from the Word, and then we would all go to prayer and pray. And I'm so thankful. It's what has brought me up, and I thank God for that. And so, we need to give God thanks, is what that verse 6 says. Verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So we might think, well, it's nobody's business to know what I do in my home, and if I don't want to do it, that's up to me, and so forth. But we know that one thing is true, that none of us live just to ourselves, and no man dies to just himself either. All the relatives and people that love him have to come together when the person is passing on and show that love. And so verse 9, to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, and that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Have you ever thought about that? Do you have a grandpa that passed away? And grandpa being in heaven, my whole family is in heaven, to realize what joy they are having right now for this end. This is what Christ did for us, that he would come and he would bring us and take us to himself in his home in heaven. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Well, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some people think that the judgment seat of Christ means when we get to heaven. And I've heard it also taught that right now we stand before the Lord. Right now, before we're ever gone to heaven, he knows all about us. He sees how we are. He sees what we believe. He sees everything about us, our attitudes, anything that's in our life. He sees it all. And he's watchful to us also. Glory to God. So whether we are alive or whether we die, we are the Lord's. He owns us. He owns us. And especially if we know him as our Savior, he is our Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for us. And God the Father is our Father. Isn't that wonderful? We belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. We belong to the Lord. Glory to God. He's the Lord of both the dead and the living. Praise the Lord. My mother that used to pray for us and pray with us and teach us the Word of God. My father, who for many years was a wonderful minister that got out of fellowship with God, But the very last part of his life, he came back and he became a missionary to Mexico. And on his way to the Philippines, he sent all of his equipment and everything over there to the Philippines to get ready to go back over there, teach them more of the word. And he died on the way. And, you know, we were so thankful that he fully dedicated his life to the Lord again after being out of fellowship with God. So God is good, isn't he? And praise the Lord. And then verse 10 says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I just read that a while ago. But I want to say that you and I don't have the right to judge other people. Do you know that? We can't say, well, I saw brother so-and-so, I saw sister so-and-so, and I didn't like what she said, or I didn't like what... That's total wrong. We don't have that authority to criticize and gripe about other people when we hear maybe they're not walking with God. What our purpose in life should be is to pray. Pray, seek the Lord, call on the Lord to help that individual, give them the strength that they need to overcome in life. And I praise the Lord for that. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And when he says every, he means all. Every single person that has ever been in the world has had an opportunity to believe. Do you know that? Because scripture tells it. Every single person that has ever come into this earth could have received Jesus as their Savior. The thing is, we don't want to wait till we're too late, until we pass on or something. Then we don't have the privilege of doing it. But right now, while we're here, always be careful to really take the Lord as our Savior. That's important. See, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Two things there. Somebody does something, and if we are one of those people that gossip and we just tell all about their faults and we go running around and do all that, that's totally unscriptural, and it's wrong. We need to not disgrace other people. That's what he's saying here. Be loving, be kind. Remember that people in this life, it's hard oftentimes to get through life. And so we're not the judge. You know that, don't you? Jesus Christ is the judge. That's what the scripture tells us. One of these days, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so we don't go around judging people. Glory to God. So in verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. It seemed to be that in Paul's day, people were doing that, criticizing other people that were Christians. Rather, he says, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Verse 14, I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. This is an opinion of a lot of things in life as we go through life and around other Christians. Some other Christians maybe do only certain things. They won't do this or that or whatever. But we're not the judge. So let's just remember that. Verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Now, Paul was a Jew, and the Jews can only eat certain things. They cannot eat certain animals and different kinds of things that maybe we might eat, which I wouldn't, but, you know, this is one of those things. In the Old Testament, it told the Jews exactly what they were supposed to eat and what they were supposed to eat. And so, that's what Paul is talking about. In verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, or judge But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's our part. We are not to do something or other or condemn someone else that might cause them to totally fall and just not be what the Lord wants. And then let's go. I think I read verse 14, didn't I? You're supposed to answer. Okay, verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So that's our responsibility. If we're around somebody that just cannot do a certain thing and feel like it's wrong, we don't want to just do it. Just, I'm not bothered by that. You know, who are you? What are you doing? You know, but there are things that would offend other people. So we are to be careful about that. Okay. Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. That's the main thing. You might have a good attitude toward other people and you receive people easily and you love people, but maybe there's something there that is condemning to another person, and that's not right before God. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. See, it's not what we eat or what we don't drink or what we do drink. This is not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God, this means the spiritual kingdom of God, where God has accepted all of us as children of God, and we are his children, is not meat and drink. It's not the natural stuff at all, but righteousness and peace and joy. That's what the kingdom of God is made about. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the kingdom of the Lord. You belong to Jesus. And then it says, praise the Lord. But righteousness. See, what God changes in our life. He makes us the righteous children of God that have a new life. And peace that comes into our life. And joy. I like the joy part. I like the peace part, but I love to be joyful in the Lord and see him work. That is wonderful. Okay, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after these things, which make for peace. And that word in the original Greek means quietness and rest. When we follow the Lord, when we go by what God says, we are making peace. We are making a quietness and a rest for the people of God. And things wherein with one may edify another. Edify. It means to build up. When we read the Word of God, it edifies us. It builds us up spiritually. And so what this lesson today is all about is to really let the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, govern our life. Don't talk badly to other people. Don't accuse them. Don't condemn them. That's not spiritual. But to let the Lord work in the lives of people and just be loving and kind and peaceful, be in quietness and rest, and edify other people, build them up in the Word of God so that they can grow in Christ. Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. Now, I don't think meat would ever destroy our work in God, but in olden days, there were a lot of things about meat, especially the Jews. They did not eat but just certain things, you know, and then if you read in Leviticus, you'll see all of that, where God told them that they could only eat certain animals. And so when that happened, then the other Jews would really come against that person and say, why are you eating of that pig? You know that not eating on a pig, that's what God said not to do, you know. Well, I don't know that any of us would have that kind of problem with somebody eating some kind of food. But we don't want to be condemning to anybody. We don't want to be condemning. We want to be trusting in God and praying for them. If people have problems, let's pray for them. Let's seek the Lord. I know what I'm talking about. I have been in churches where people were very critical of other people. If they didn't do exactly what they thought, they were always criticizing. That's not our job. Our job is to pray for one another and let the Lord work in the lives of others. Praise the Lord. So glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now, do we really want to love Jesus as we should? Do we really want to serve him as he has asked us? Then we have to let him control us. We have to let him come into our life and help us to be the persons that God wants us to be. Where we're not condemning others, we're not trying to make somebody appear to be unholy. We are just those people that love other Christians and love the people of God and keep on praying and keep on dealing with the situation so that we can all change. Hallelujah. We're all going to be one of these days in the presence of Christ. For he that has these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. This is, makes God very pleased when we do this kind of thing. He loves it. He wants to be us to be tender toward others. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things whereby one may edify or build up another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. And so that's what the word says. And if we are around somebody and we do those things and they feel that they cannot because they don't know about salvation, or they maybe think that we are sinning, it's not a good example as a believer of Christ for us to do things that might hinder someone else from turning to God or from someone else being faithful to God. Praise the Lord. Verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. So if there's something that we do and we feel like it's all right with, you know, we have a conscience, we know that we're not doing something that is disallowed, then that's between us and God, as it says here, that we have it to thyself before God. Have this with God. And trust in God to show you if it's a wrong thing, because he will. He will show that. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. You know, one of the tricks of the devil is for us to condemn ourselves. It's not the Lord. The Lord doesn't look down and say, now you get condemned today. It's the devil that condemns us. And so we want to realize that you know, sometimes we may do a little something that we're happy about, we're doing it, and then someone else just really comes in and talks mean to us and stuff like that. We have to just turn that all over to the Lord, to say, okay, Lord, you just take care of this. If I'm doing the wrong thing, you show me, Lord. And we have to forgive other people that are pretty bad about condemning us. And verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned. And this word damned in the original means a to be condemned. So what is it that he's saying if you doubt? You know what doubting means in the scripture? It means that we're not believing what God says. We're doubting what God says, what God wants done. We doubt it. Have you ever been around a person that doubted a lot? It's difficult because they don't have the faith that God wants them to have. And so every situation is just, ooh, it's just horrible. We're not going to get out of it. There's nothing to it. You know, all this stuff. And that the people can say, so he that doubteth is condemned if he eat. He's doubtful. He's not trusting in God. And it didn't say she, it said he. So, but we know that it goes for every one of us, male or female. We need to be people who have faith in God and honor God and believe in him. And notice what it says, because he eateth not of faith. And so I don't know, all of you, how you eat, but I'm going to tell you this. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in the message in the books of the Bible telling us when we eat, we should pray. We should pray before we eat. We should take a little time and pray over it and thank God for the food. We could be starving. There's people that are starving in the world today. And thank God, we have food. Praise the Lord. We have too much sometimes. We all know that. I'm guilty of that sometimes. And notice it says he's damned if he eat because he eateth not of faith. He hasn't sought after God to bless him and to bless the food that he's taking. Because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we do need to pray over our food. We don't know. I don't know sometimes. Maybe something fell into my food while it was cooking. I don't know. But I don't want that to happen. And I'm not scared. God always provides for us. Isn't he a great and wonderful God? And so that's our lesson today.